Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another Spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For if ye suffer a man, for ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. This is an amazing chapter. It really is. There are so many things going on here. It's difficult to get to fit them all in. The first portion, which continues on in about the middle of the chapter, the apostle talks, as we talked earlier today, about the false Christs and the false apostles and the false gospel and the false spirit. But did you notice long about verses 13, 14, 15, 16, talking about those who would minister that false gospel, that false Christ, what does the apostle Paul call them? He calls them messengers of Satan. He calls them apostles of the devil. He calls them teachers of the devil. You remember what we said today. You remember what we said earlier today, that there are those out there that compete for that which belongs to God only, and that it is the devils that stand behind those false teachings, those idols. And so we read several passages in the Old Testament about the children of Israel doing something in their worship that was called sacrificing unto devils and not the true and living God. And the apostle says that such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, are transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. You see how important this topic is to the Apostle Paul. He begins the chapter in his defense of his own apostleship by saying this. What is he saying? He's saying, I espoused you as a bride to your one husband, but I'm afraid that you'll go aside to another husband. What you got from me was the real thing, but there are men in town teaching you something that's not the real thing. They're transformed into what looks to be apostles of Jesus Christ, but in reality they are the ministers of Satan. And they're moving you off from the real Christ, the real gospel, and the real spirit to a false Christ, a false spirit, and a false gospel. And so since we spoke of that earlier, we'll not belabor it here, only to say that there are a number of imitations out there. We must have the true. We must ensure that we are attending churches. And when we speak to our friends out there in the Christian world, if we have a concern for their soul, we will tell them that there is such a thing as a false Christ, a false gospel, and a false spirit, and that they must flee from every competitor to the true. So then the apostle goes on in verses 5 through 15, speaking about his own his apostolic office. He says that he is not rude in knowledge, that what he has told them is the truth. He says that he has refrained from being chargeable to them, that he has debased himself. And now he is wondering out loud, and I don't think he's really wondering. I think he is using that as a device to teach them about the humility of the ministry. This is what the apostle is saying here. Here's how you can tell the false apostles from the true. I came into town, preached in the synagogue. Remember in Acts chapter 18, about verses 1 through 8 or 1 through 9. I came into town, I preached in the synagogue. When they kicked us out of the synagogue, we established the church. Crispus and Gaius were there. They were men who were attached to the synagogue, but they left the synagogue. We told them we were going to the Gentiles. We established the church in Corinth, and not for one instant throughout that entire time, did I take from you anything? The churches of Macedonia, they supported me. Churches of Achaia, they supported me. Through all that time. Now these men come into town and they demand that you support them. Do you see the contrast? That's what he's saying. This is why he brings that up. He has the perfect freedom to charge them. But because he would distinguish himself from false professors, he was never chargeable to them. Remember that for Paul, it was never about the money. It was never about the support. And always about the message. Not root in knowledge. Refrain from being chargeable to them. And he desires to keep himself free from accusation. And it is as if he says, where will those teachers be if the money dries up? Right? So he calls them false apostles, deceitful workers, ministers of Satan. Verses 16 through 21, he speaks very boldly to them at this time then. He is even, we might say, gone a little to scolding. And they needed scolding at this point. Listen to what he says. You suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. Of course, this is high sarcasm. It's a literary device designed to humble the Corinthians because they have attached themselves to deceitful workers, false apostles. And so he takes up this boasting to awaken the Corinthians out of their spiritual slumber. He reminds them of the burden that these false apostles have been. They have been demanding, almost tyrannical. They smite them on the face. And they are inimical. Inimical children, you know what that means? They're the opposite of a true Christian minister. All right, so then verses 22 through 33, the apostle talks about the rigors of the office and that no one would take that office up in truth if they really understood what it entailed. These false apostles in Corinth have taken up the office because they believe that it is good for their pocketbooks. It's good for their prestige. It's good for their power. But the apostle says, the true apostle goes on to talk about the rigors of the apostolic office. You know, it says in the Old Testament that you could not beat a man with 40 stripes because he would become loathsome or base unto you. And so the maximum penalty that the Jews would ever put on a man was 39. Some break, huh? And yet 3 times the Apostle Paul received 39 stripes. That means 39 strokes from a whip. 3 times, he says, he was shipwrecked. We don't hear about all of those in the book of Acts, do we? And the 4th one may have been post 2 Corinthians. So it may be 4 times that he was shipwrecked. A day and a night I have spent in the deep. You know, a piece of driftwood was my home for a day and a night. And then he goes on and he says, do you think I'm bragging through all of this? Do you think this is a boast on my part? Well, let me tell you about this other thing, and tell me if you think I'm the hero that I'm purporting myself to be. Because there was a time when I was in the city of Damascus that they were seeking after me. And instead of that kind of courage that you expect me to have, they stuffed me in a basket and let me out the window. So that I was let down the city wall and escaped unnoticed. So he speaks here of the rigors of the apostolic ministry and and of his complete desire to dedicate himself to that ministry and to say goodbye to worldly and earthly comforts on behalf of that ministry and even the prestige that might come as being that powerful guy that stood up. Instead of standing up, what did he do? They let him down in a basket. The apostle is comparing himself then to these false professors in Corinth, and how that a true apostolic ministry is going to look like this rather than the other. Spending and being spent on behalf of those whom the Lord has given in charge. Did you hear that one most telling thing? He says, besides all of these outward things, there is daily what presses on me, the care of all the churches. Paul carried every one of those churches that he had been a part of establishing. He carried every one of them with him in his heart every day. So we have that as a great encouragement to the ministry. And I got to tell you, that is a tough row. As a minister, I can tell you that the kind of example the apostle sets forth here, that's a high bar. Very, very humbling. So, what use can we make? Well, you know, we've seen the use that ministers ought to make from that passage. But we also see the use that churches ought to make. That no matter who their minister is, that we have us guys who are the ministers of various churches, have, you know, varying amounts of gifts. Some of us are more and less gifted than others, and so on. But that in our own places and in our own stations and in our own ministries, each of us are required to that kind of effort and dedication. And that it behooves the people of God to receive those efforts with thankfulness, appreciation, to not to become disaffected, like we saw in the last chapter, so that ministry then is rendered void in your hearing and for your use, right? All right, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.